actually, I've noticed this when I'm behind the glass, it's a little easier. If Ken is the one that comes comes up with the game, but is at least able to just moderate, then it's a little easier.
Somebody's saying, I'm calling you Evan Kenny. I'm not. I'm saying Evan and Kenny.
Yeah, that's. Oh, my gosh. No, I get what you're saying.
Oh, not, I hadn't heard the 94. That
I hadn't heard the 94.7 either. I've heard the, what was the one? The Chicago Tribune one. Sergio Garcia.
Oh, yeah.
John Shea was pretty bad.
My man.
Yeah, we've all had some gas. Yeah.
Streets are saying, I might be in your seat Friday.
You want to do it?
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
All right.
Give me the keys,
Ken.
Yeah.
Give him the reads.
Yeah, we'll have a rear view mirror on that thing.
Leave me alone.
We'll see.
Yeah. So can I show up at...
whatever time, baby. Just be here by 10. Well, I got you.
Oh, no.
No, I'll be here early. It's okay.
Did you see Marcy this morning? She texted me. I was like, I hope Evan got in there.
Yeah, I've been doing them every single day.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. No, she texts me on the side and
what
says...
What did you talk about today?
What did we talk about today? Oh, so I guess there's some Disney panel that's been giving out characters to each football team. So like the Disney character for the San Francisco 49ers is Stinky Pete from Toy Story 2. Because he's a minor, like a 49er. Anyways, this is what we talked about on Live 101. No? You never seen Toy Story?
I haven't. So Stinky Pete.
Buzz Lightyear?
No.
Woody?
Is it worth going back to watch?
Not ringing a bell?
No. I didn't see it.
Well, that's fine. Did your kids ever see it?
Well, Tinkerbell. That's old school Disney.
Tinkerbell. That's Peter Pan, right?
Yeah. Look at my man. Good stuff. Yeah.
I don't think they were on a football team, but Woody was a Dallas Cowboy. So,
okay.
Anyways, we transition off of that. Okay, and did you have something to add?
We can't hear you, buddy.
You gotta turn your mic on.
You never seen Toy Story, Goo?
No.
At all?
Seen The Toy with Richard Pryor.
Oh, good movie.
Yep.
Never seen that
Jackie
one.
Jackie Gleason.
You've never seen that?
No, never have seen you? The Toy.
Yeah, Richard Pryor.
All right, I'll watch The Toy if you watch Toy Story. How about
I will
that?
Do it.
Okay.
Will I like it, E? Seriously.
Yeah, you will. All right. Don Rickles is in it.
That's my guy.
Yeah. Yep. Voice of Mr. Potato Head. Although he wasn't given to a team. It's my favorite character.
He
personally.
Was great in Casino.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, I need guys like that on my squad.
Shout out, Ginger.
Yeah.
All right. Back to Kyle Shanahan, who again was asked about a bunch of stuff post-practice. The last one the Niners have before they get set for their final preseason game against the Raiders. That'll be on Thursday. Much of it, of course, was about Jed York and can kind of help us get an idea of how much of a distraction or not that this is going to be for the Niners. And we left off with Shanahan talking about how the players can deal with it. Well, let's just get right into it. Is this going to affect football? Kyle.
My view is, as the coach, does it have an effect on us as a team? And that's what I continue to answer on from a football standpoint. It has no effect on us. I mean, as far as what we do day to day, what we talk about, and hasn't been mentioned in a meeting today, it doesn't have to do with what happens on the field. Everything outside of there, I think you guys can judge that better than me.
I just, again, you know, how many times I got to tell you guys, hey, was this embarrassing? Was this bad? Was it against the law? Check, check, check. But man, I just have, because it's the owner, I just have a problem that, you know, trickling down to where guys are going to be thrown off or not be able to prep. So that's why I really believe he believes that as well, Kyle.
I think this is the reason why it's not going to have an issue for the 49ers. And it is because of Kyle Shanahan, and it's because of his relationship with the owner. I think Jed York has been a hands-off guy, and here's how Kyle described their relationship.
What people speak highly of and how this is ran, I think it's ran from a complete football standpoint. I think that's what's refreshing here. We have a building that doesn't, you know, I've been a lot of places, but sometimes, you know, there's a bad article and you got to answer to people who aren't involved in football about how you feel about your defense coordinator. You get a punt blocked and there's bad articles and you got to answer to people about firing your special teams coach. Someone gives up something or they got to get a bad PFF grade and you got to answer to non-football people about who you're starting. I think that's what people love about this place. Jed's trusted over the football to people who are involved in football, and players feel that. I've been in too many other buildings where things do trickle down, and when they trickle down and things don't totally make sense, that wears on players also more than anything. I think here it's pretty black and white for them. They know it's always football decisions. Everything's always been football decisions, and because they know Jed's put us in charge of making those.
I think that's, to me, why this won't have any impact on the team, because Jed York doesn't involve himself with the football team. If he was a hands-on owner the way...
Let's say Jerry Jones
was.
Who got in trouble a couple years ago in the bathroom. Like, that was a real thing, embarrassing. But, Dallas, it didn't derail the play. I don't think it hit the players to where, yeah, we didn't have the greatest season. It was because of that.
No, but I do think that Jerry Jones having his fingerprints on the team, it's more of a distraction. Mm. Like, but because Jed York is largely in the background... And Kyle Shanahan, I think, is the first guy that most people associate with the Niners right now.
I'm with you. He was on the hot seat, if you want to call it that, just from, people from the public eye where he put himself in a situation, and damn, it feels like it's over.
He didn't break the law.
I got you.
But, I mean, I don't think it ever really started when it came to football, but I mean, my point was, if you just put it under the umbrella of all the other things that have gone on this offseason, to me, there's just been a lot that the Niners have had to deal with that's been self-inflicted. That issues and mistakes or lack of judgment that's preventable. You know, is it going to manifest itself on third down? It may not, but I think it's because Jed York leaves Kyle Shanahan to his own devices. He leaves the team to their own, and that's why they're able to run without him, essentially.
And this guy's been rough on me today, and I love the rough people, but Giants forever. I want to read this to you. You tell me what you think, E, because you played ball. You're not an athlete or a true competitor if you think this affects the players. It won't. The owner situation. But you kind of just elaborated on why you think him being hands-off makes this easier to be a non-story.
Yeah, and I think it also makes it easier for Kyle Shanahan to take ownership of the team. You know, he's like, Jed York, what did he say, leaves the PFF grades?
Yeah.
Doesn't leave to the non-football people. He puts it in the hands of decision makers that know what to do. He leaves the defense to the defense coordinator. He leaves the offense to Kyle. He leaves personnel and roster decisions, assuming it's Shanahan. He lets people that he's hired do their jobs.
That's how it should go, man.
I think that's generally a good sign of a good boss.
Mm-hmm. It is. I've had him. I don't know. Like, on the fly, how many bosses have you truly had to where you are around them every day like you are in the Nahegan here?
Ooh. Well, I've had probably more than a lot of people my age, because at one point when I was moving around the country after college, I worked for a different minor league baseball team or sports entity every 6 months for 4 years. So I probably have had close to 15 to 20 bosses.
So you got experience.
Yeah, and not all of them are good.
And you got Nahegan on, you ain't got to share it on those rankings.
Yeah, he's towards the top.
Yeah, he's at the top of mine. I've had some real ones, some ones I love, some I was like, my God, some that made me grow that I couldn't stand, and then later you leave them like, oh, that's what we got a good one here.
So do you prefer the hands-on or hands-off type of approach?
I don't like the middleman. If I'm doing something, come to me, and that's what he does. So with Nahegan, I feel like if something's going on that I need to fix, there'll never be that that lack of communication. He'll be on your phone or you'll be in his office. I like that. Hands on. That's what I call it. Not you, some bosses let stuff fester and then 3 months down the road, I meant to tell you what? Like, if you would have told me this and been real with me, maybe this could have been fixed or rectified by the time we're just now, I'm finding out, as employee that it was doing, something was off.
Yeah.
That makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would describe that as feel. It's, I don't know, in baseball there's five tools. I was always told that the sixth tool is feel.
How many did you have?
Feel for a situation. Feel for when to step in. Feel for when to step away. That to me is the hardest thing to figure out as an employer, general leader of people. And by the way, no one's saying that Jed York is a good guy because he's a hands-off owner. He obviously made a huge mistake, and it's embarrassing, and it's going to be a stain, as we talked about yesterday. But I think what Kyle is describing is their working and professional relationship, which has no bearing on Jed York, the person. That's the way that he likes it. That's the way that's allowed the 49ers to run best in recent years. And that's why they're going to be able, as a football team, put this behind.
Yeah. I'm with you. Now, I asked you how many tools of baseball of your playing really did you have?
For me?
Yeah. If we're being real.
I mean, that's why I'm doing this. No. not many.
But to the average guy, Evan, how you played collegiate baseball.
Played Division III baseball, yeah.
That's still college baseball.
Okay.
Did you have power?
No.
Speed?
Not really.
You look like you're fast.
Well, I could beat you in a race, but that's not... Oh, I'm just right. kidding.
It ain't about me, Evan. How many tools did you say you had, if you had to judge yourself?
I'll say this. Senior year, I only struck out twice.
So you were rich and real, yeah?
Yeah, like I could put the bat on the ball. I had a pretty good arm. I was smart. Yeah, I knew myself. I knew when I could steal a base. I knew when I could throw a pitch.
Okay.
I knew
so, Kenny, I'm counting about two tools.
I knew when to put barrel on ball. I did what the team did.
All right. I was just giving the Evan scouting report.
I was our leadoff hitter. I mean, hitter and number two pitcher. We had a number one guy who went to Oregon State, my buddy Kevin. He was really good. So,
damn.
Yeah, I wasn't the best guy on our team. But I was all right. Got it done back in my day. But feel, yeah. I had that tool. That's the one thing I did have.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Come on. I'm not sure. He forced me to hype myself up. I swear that wasn't on purpose.
But you need that. You need to do that more. Who I am?
Hey, get back to arguing now.
Not today.
Come on, Scott.
Yeah.
Leave us alone.
Scotty.
Don't make me point it at you. All right. Here's Kyle Shanahan. Well, if you want some emotion, let's get back into his disdain for traveling to Australia. Why don't you want to go down under?
I mean, I would love to show up the day before and just play, but I'm not the best when it comes to the science and everything on that stuff. So you ask people who have done it a number of times, you ask people who study it, you take all their opinions in. We've been strongly recommended to, you know, when you got a 19-hour flight and it's a 16-hour something difference. I forgot because I haven't asked since we were making these decisions. But it's a big adjustment on the body. So the recommendation for everybody has been to tell us when to go, and it's made a lot of sense. And I know how our players feel also. I was a little bit on the fence. Science wasn't what I was reported on, and our players weren't at all. So that helped me get off the fence.
And he's talking about his, you know, like the travel schedule, essentially, for the 49ers and whether they would have wanted to go earlier or go later. Like, I just think it's so weird how opposite the 49ers and the Rams are approaching their trip down to Australia.
It's the world. We're all divided. They see it one way. They see it the other. But what if it were you? Which way would you want it? I want the week there to get acclimated to what I'm doing. I don't want to just get off the plane and then go have to play, get back on it, and jet out. Like, you know what I mean?
I'm not sure because, look, I think the whole point is that you want your body to get acclimated, but you're basically losing a day during travel. And so, because, right, you... Let me put it to you like, this is how someone described it to me, is you could sleep the entire flight down to Australia, right?
Okay.
But because you're losing so much time during the day, they're what, 18 or 19 hours ahead, you still have to catch up on that sleep
to
get your body right.
Can I do that the 6 days or the 5 days we're going to be there if I'm the Niners?
You can, and I think that's why they're going.
Okay.
And the Rams are saying, we don't want our bodies to adjust at all. Like, we're just going to basically show and go, get in there, get out, and keep our bodies as close to the circadian rhythm as they had when they played in American Los Angeles.
But isn't that a higher risk, though? Because, you still got to account for the plane ride. You know what I mean? Like, so you're losing that battle just getting there, and then you're going to get off and go right into combat?
It worked for him last year.
Hey, again, it's just guru math. I got it. Evan, I'm not a scientist, but I'm just like, man.
No, I think I would prefer the 49ers method.
Man.
But if the Rams beat them and they're at a disadvantage because they have less rest, well, then maybe it doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
We'll find. And you know this will have something to do with the outcome of the game, right? Well, they got it right.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know if it's going to change international travel for good, but I, like, I have to imagine that Rams have really smart people that work in their organization. Right. And it isn't like they're saying, well, we'll take 4 days or 3 days. It's like, no, actually, we're going down the day before and we're going to head on out. Meanwhile, Shanahan wants a full week. All right, here's another big subject that we've been tackling today, the subject of Nick Bosa. Hey, Kyle Shanahan, what's going on with 97?
He's doing good, hoping that he can get into practice next week, and we'll see how those 3 days go after the mandatory 3 days off.
What?
He's doing good, hoping that he can get into practice next week, and we'll see how those 3 days go after the mandatory 3 days off.
So, Evan, it's only Tuesday of this week.
Last I checked.
So, man, we talk about that. Wow. Like, that's up in the air.
Well, I mean, they're going to Vegas to play the Raiders, I guess. He's already skipping ahead to next week. I'm sorry. That doesn't sound like he...
It's close. I'm not panicking for Niner fans. I'm just like, I don't know why everything I've been reading, I guess, on The Athletic, The Examiner, The Chronicle, I assume Bosa was ahead of Kittle. I just thought that was like, oh, yeah. Bosa's ready to go, and we had people on. Oh, yeah, he's doing this or that. But now it's like, okay, maybe he is on the Mykal Williams track. It'll be a little while.
Yeah, I mean, their injuries are different, ACL versus Achilles, but.
Just not there for week one, you know?
Look, I didn't feel confident a few weeks ago when Nick Bosa hadn't logged a full participation in practice that he'd be available week one against the Rams. I feel more strongly now. I feel like every time Kyle Shanahan talks about it, I think I feel more confident that Nick Bosa is not going to be on the field against the Rams.
And you know what? To that point, and this for the gamblers in the back, shout out Prize Picks. But damn, Evan, you told me before the show, I believe the line's 2.5. You know, if you're into the spreads and gambling. But my goodness, I can tell you McDuffie's going to be out there for the Rams. Nacua, Miles Garrett, their new toy, Stafford. Those guys are going to be there. And if we're being fair, we got some question marks in regard to who's going or not going to be out there for the Niners and their big names, Kittle and Bosa.
I think he's the biggest one right now. To me, Nick Bosa has officially jumped George Kittle as the biggest concern heading into the beginning of this season.
I ain't mad at you.
You know, George Kittle is very important to the run game, to what they do in the passing game. In the red zone, he was Brock Purdy's number one red zone target last year. He's huge. There's no doubt. But if this defense is going to resemble any form of its former self, Nick Bosa, he doesn't have to just be out there. He's got to be that. He's got to be Nick Bosa.
Man, double. I call that the Whopper. Two patties. Like, yeah, there's two scoreboards. You just being healthy to be out there, and then what are you compared to? You know what Kenny was talking about when he was DPOY and was putting up monster numbers.
If I set an over-under on 9.5 sacks for Bosa this year, right now, how are you feeling?
I would ask you before, look, your boy's growing up right before your eyes.
I don't like that.
Even though I'm older than you, how many games is he playing?
That's not the point.
Oh, yes. How many games?
That's not the point.
But we'll say 17.
No, I don't think he's going to play 17 games. That means he's got to be on the field against the Rams.
But what number was in your heart in regard to the sack total? Sound like 9.5?
I think 9.5 is a good number.
I think you got to get that. You got to get to 10. And even some might be like, "What's going on with that?" That's a reality. But
I would lean under.
Then how are they going to cause havoc on the QB, man?
Well, there's no way they can be worse than last year.
Well, and they won 12 games.
That's what I'm saying. It's if they don't have a guy
like
who's
107
four
for the
sacks,
Giants, man.
And maybe some of that's just going to be Raheem Morris.
Yeah.
There's someone on the text line saying, you know, why not give Raheem Morris the same benefit of the doubt you gave Saleh? I mean, I haven't seen Raheem Morris run a 49ers defense.
Well, we know the secondary's happy that Morris is on the scene as opposed to Saleh.
Yeah, they're happy now.
And we exactly. But if you get no pass rush, man.
Maybe I'm weird. It was weird to me.
That was super
weird. You won 12 games and you're mad because...
Wow.
Come on, man.
And now with that, Evan, I felt like they were kind of insinuating, oh, we were getting passed on because we were in. He had us in there. I couldn't be myself. That's why I thought it was week two. But we'll see.
Ken is telling me that the official number for Nick Bosa is 10.5. So I thought it'd be 9.5. I would take the under. Real quick, here's another update. This is on Mike Evans, who was on the side today. It's kind of been in and out, more in precautionary manner during practice. And I think it was listed as a quad, but Shanahan had a different update.
Mike had his groin is tight, hoping to get back him back next week also.
So over the weekend, it was a quad, and now Shanahan is saying it's his groin that's keeping him out, so he'll be back next week. I mean, he wasn't going to play against the Raiders anyway.
I got it, E. But, you know, today it's groin. Does that thing flare up in 2, 3 weeks, 4, 5 weeks? So I'm not going to panic. I'll just wait to week one. And again, you're right. It's a preseason game. Nothing to see here this week. But, man, you know, you want stuff like that kind of out the way. And that's why the sport is so hard. It doesn't work that way, right? You never know.
Well, Mike Evans, it's tough because he's been a model of consistency.
No doubt.
His
Carfax
entire
is great.
Career.
Up until last year.
You are correct. But is that the beginning of the end? Or is that just a blip on the radar? That's what he has to prove this year. And I will say, I understand why they're, you know, just kind of taking it easy with him in camp. But there's been a lot of nagging injuries with Mike Evans, and that's something that tends to happen to players who are older.
Yeah, wow.
It's not just one big one, although a lot of Warriors fans are thinking about Jimmy Butler. I think it's usually just a lot of small stuff. All right, we got the crossover coming up next, brought to you by Bay Alarm. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz alongside Daryl the Guru Johnson. Willard and Dibs. Coming up next on the other side, that segment was brought to you by Safeway.
Head to Safeway this week for Signature Select 80% lean ground beef, 6 pounds or more mega packs.